We're in Luke 12, verse 15 still. And we're studying what life is. We started yesterday. We studied yesterday that the life is only in the Father, or when we say in the Father, but let's look at in the Son. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us, or in us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you. You can't declare what you haven't seen and heard. First John, chapter 1, 1 through 3. If you use two hands, it might work better. But here, this is really important. Let's start read it again. That which was from the beginning. Now that's why to be born again means to be from the beginning. From the first estate. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have looked, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. This isn't a history lesson. This is what must be manifested in you. And only when that is manifested in you can you declare it. That which we have heard, that which we have seen, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. If you haven't been experientially exposed so that the word is made flesh in you, then you can only talk about it as a philosophy. And the philosophy will not manifest. It can't be reproduced. You understand? And this is the meaning of fellowship. Let's look at that. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. From all trespass. The word must be made flesh in you. And that's the message that's lost in the modern Christianity. And look, let's look at in 1 John chapter 5 a minute. I want to show you something. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten. And so the love of the brethren is automatic. It's not something that you try to do, because you automatically love him that is also begotten of the Father. It's not a to-do, it's a what-is. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Well, let's go.
Oh, did I tell you what I don't like people doing? Taking notes in Bibles.
Especially when it's not their own. Start in chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. It says fill, but it means fulfill. And this is one of the things. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. I don't believe that's five different ministries. It's one. But the apostle is the one that falls into the ground and dies. And because he is dead, He will speak eventually.
Why didn't he say, and he gave one?
It's just a translation thing.
I have a dumb question, but what is the difference between, is an apostle a teaching disciple versus a disciple? I'm not exactly sure of the difference.
The difference between
a disciple and an apostle?
Well, a disciple is one who is still learning.
An apostle
is graduated. But listen, the apostle is the dying seed. The prophet is the one who speaks. Remember, it's no longer foretelling, it's forthtelling. Because he speaks, some will hear, so he's an evangelist. Because people hear, then being a pastor and teacher has to follow. But the point of every body, there must be first a dying seed. Now, I'll modify that. There could be different ones that accomplish functions within the body that are similar to these. But it has to start out with a dying seed.
Yeah.
All right. For the perfecting of the saints, and the perfecting of the saints, that they be fully tested, That's what perfecting means, teleos. For the work of the ministry, what is the work of the ministry? It's living, because if you live in abandonment, the work of the ministry is automatic. For the edifying of the body of Christ, that defines the work of the ministry. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, fully tested, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And the biggest one that's lying in wait to deceive is your mind. But all men. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined and compacted, by which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Remember, vanity in the Bible doesn't mean you like to look in the mirror. Vanity means worthlessness, puff of smoke. Everything that your mind can produce from God's perspective is vanity, except one, repentance. All right, I was talking about the Gentiles. If you're walking as a Gentile, here's where you are. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, and life is what we're studying, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So the fall produced the blindness. And it's not something that can be made unblind. The fall produced death, blindness, the whole nine yards. And it's only being born from above or born from the first that you are transformed, transfigured into that one that can do all this. But before that happens, you are dead. What?
Dead in the sense of?
Dead. From God's perspective, dead. It's dead in the context of that, all those pecans that are falling. They're pecans falling all over the backyard. And the wind blows and they bounce and they hit me in the head. Those pecans are dead. And they will stay dead until they fall into the ground. And when they rot and get screwed up in the ground, then the germ of life that is within them springs forth. But what we have is we have the human race running around saying, well, I'm an atheist pecan, and I'm a Christian pecan, and I'm a Muslim pecan, and I'm a this pecan, and I'm a that pecan. But the whole idea is they haven't fallen into the ground and died. They're dead. They can't do anything. They can't reproduce anything. They can't be anything until they fall into the ground and die. Amen? So all of the, that's why there are only two left. There's no neutral state. There's only the bride or the whore, vessel of wrath or vessel of mercy. There's no in between.
Yeah, right here is being alienated from life, which is got to be death. Alienated from life, it's got to be death.
Amen.
And yet, by repentance,
by repentance, you die. You see your death. And so it's no longer you that live.
Yeah, in that context, you are quickened by the Spirit of God.
Right, but it's only, it's really this. It's really you've revealed what's already there. You revealed the germ of life, just like the pecan had to fall into the ground before it was known to be that had the germ of life in it.
This is Christ.
Let's look at something else about Christ. Go back to Colossians a minute. First chapter. Colossians chapter.
What chapter?
One. Starting verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath transfigured us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, is what it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now, just this now describes this one we have dealings with. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. I mean, this is he is the so-called the God particle that high energy physicists are looking for. Because he is the essence of all things that were created. How can you, we can't even conceive of that. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Your mind is the enemy. It never stops being the enemy. But he's reconciled through his death and resurrection in you. And the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in mind, or your mind, by the wicked one's works, is what it says. The mind is the wicked one. There is nothing good that can come from the mind. No good thoughts. There's no good ideas. There's no good plans. There's no good work. The mind can only produce that which is of its nature. And the nature of the mind is evil. And evil can only produce evil from God's perspective. This what?
Is where death resides. I mean, we're always talking about death, and you emphasize dead, but it doesn't click in fully for me, other than seeing that if you want to talk about death, this is death, because you're apart from God. You're not in him who is life. You're in your mind, which is not life. It's apart from life.
Let's go back to Genesis. Genesis 3. Or 2, I mean.
It's a mystery. Genesis 3.
Genesis 2. You're not an empty vessel. You are the vessel of the evil one.
A fully repentant.
Well, it's not just fully repentant. Fully repentant in not using your mind.
Right. Does that repentance cause? Is there any union that comes about, or is it just strictly him?
No, there's only him.
Okay.
And then that's why he called us my sister, my love. Because we're of the same nature. That's when he says, you know, all his guys say, look what I've done. And he shall say, depart from me, I never knew you. Well, the new, that word new there is the word you're of a different class or a different genus or a different order. It's like a, you know, it's like you're an animal and that you have no. This is what's happened throughout history. That's why at the beginning Adam and Eve had the potential to transform innocence into holiness. Then came what? Then came the flood because of the stuff we don't really understand, but it says the sons of God had sex with the daughters of men. And I believe that, again, Noah and his crew were the only ones that didn't have that genetic mixing. Okay, then what happened? Then there was the Noachian law, which would have produced full of repentance eventually, and the ability to see Christ. And just like Abel saw him, then it was all hell. Then again, the Noachian law produced nothing but idolatry. And then he chose one family. And the one family, everything was done first was to protect the seed of Adam. Then it was to protect the seed of Noah. And then it was protect the seed, which was the seed of Adam. Then it's protect the seed of Abraham. And now it's protect the seed of Christ. But because the seed of Abraham was the last possible one that could be used by God, the seed of Christ, his own right arm, his own Zeruah, has gotten him the victory. But in each of those ages, there was the same potential to see the mystery of Christ and to be born again. Well, that's what people object to, but because they say, well, that's the Old Testament. No, it's always been the same.
And Abraham saw it, right?
Well, so did many other ones. He just used Abraham because that was the one that they... Isaac saw him. Jacob's song.
Yeah, those all had the seed in them.
Hmm?
Those were of, well, I guess everybody's of Adam.
Yeah, no, but that's why there's only really, from God's perspective, only two generations. There's the generation of Adam and the generation of Christ. The generation of Christ is called the Messianic Age, which we are in. It started on Pentecost. That's why Jesus said, the kingdom of God is here. Repent.
You eliminate any differentiation in saying that it's all the same. And yet the coming of Christ had some impact on
Well, the impact was is that that killed the human race.
Which is what you can kind of read in Genesis 2, and dying you shall surely die.
Right. Well, yeah, let's go. We're in Genesis 2. Let's. No, I can't find it.
Genesis 3. And you shall die.
Yeah, but that's, he's repeating that in. Yeah, there it is, because I was looking. I thought it was earlier. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And it literally it says, in the day that you eat it, in dying you shall die. So that brought, that sin brought death on the whole human race. Let's go to Galatians 3.
But it wasn't fully manifest till the cross, till Christ died, even though it's outside of time and all that. In time, it was manifest at the cross. This was.
Yeah, they'll surely die, yeah. All right, let's go to Genesis 3. I mean, Galatians 3. What do you call those? What did you guys call those things when some kind of drill in Sunday school?
Sword drill.
Sword drill. We almost have sword drill here all the time.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, I'm in 2 Corinthians, no wonder. It says, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to this, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Amen. Did you see it? Galatians 3, chapter 3, verse 16. To Abraham, the seed, the promises new go not to the human race, ever. The promises go to thy seed, which is Christ. Therein only is life. Every other form of religion or form of thought, really all forms of thought are a religion of some of a sort. The gospel comes against everything. The gospel truly preached has no allies in time and space. And that's why they say, yeah, they'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service. With a promise is made.
Right, but he impregnated the handmaid. What's her name?
Hagar.
Hagar.
Well, that wasn't his, that wasn't, but she was not of the promise. She was of a strange nature. So yeah. The seed, the promises didn't go.
So the seed, and as far as Abraham's concerned, he was out of the picture, useless. He couldn't produce a child. He was too old.
And Sarah was older.
Yeah, they're both too old. So when he's talking about his seed, he's really talking about himself, it seems.
The seed. It's always been only the seed of Christ.
Yeah, so that's what passed through Abraham because it was outside of his ability.
Right.
His weakness allowed it to take place. Because in his strength, he got Hagar. And
right.
Still paying for that.
my point is, the thing, the reason we're going through all this is that there is the ever and always, the life has only been in this seed. Go to Isaiah 59. We think of, it's our definition of life that always screws us up, but it screwed everybody up. Listen to this comment by Paul. He said, I am crucified with Christ. But wait, no, but nevertheless I live. But yet it's not I that liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. He's gone. And it's always been that.
So this being that is mouthing those words, Paul, is declaring his emptiness and fullness at the same time, meaning our only participation is we're able to see it.
No, our participation is the same as... Well, let's go to Isaiah 59. Now, just for the record, we're going to read the first two verses a minute.
Isaiah 59.
Everybody there? Are you using two hands yet?
I've got one hand holding it.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. He doesn't even see the human race.
That's death.
Right. And iniquity, I mean... Remember, iniquity is really, it means, it's the word avin, it means self-seeking. Self-seeking is death. And so look, now then, he raises all kinds of hell, the rest of it, but let's go. Let's just start in verse 12. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away back, justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. His arm there is his seed, Zerah. This is as big as it gets. He saw there was no intercessor. He wondered. There was no man. It says it again. Go to Isaiah 63. I'm starting verse 3. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. No man, no intercessor. His own right arm has gotten into victory. Go to Psalm 98. Psalm Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. You sing on the new song you sing has no reference to self. Because he wants fellowship. And the only way he can have fellowship was of the same nature.
Yeah, that's curious.
Well.
But not, I mean, if it's going to be real, it has to be real. And if he just made it happen, it's not real.
It's not real. Yeah, he's got 10 billion angels who can do everything else better than we can.
Yeah, so that's not the point. It's
no, fellowship. He wants fellowship. That's the whole mystery of the world, really.
It personifies him.
Right, but it's his humility is beyond belief.
Yeah.
And the humility, he pours out the humility into the Son. And the Son, humility goes into, it's most unbelievable humility. And the Holy Spirit's humility is only to reveal the Son. So, I mean, the three are, I mean, there's no humility on earth like it.
Yeah, because.
But that has to be manifested. It has to be seen. Otherwise, you will expect him to come and do something.
Right.
If you don't understand his humility, and that as long as you're in the vessel, he will not occupy. He takes the lowest seat, and the longer we do that, we put him lower and lower, and finally in prison in the bottom of the temple. You as the temple. It's just, that's the prison ministry. This crap about, oh, I'm starting a prison ministry, that's just goofy. I mean, it's fine, they can do that all they want, but it doesn't mean anything. All him. Anything outside of him is death. It's not a philosophy. It's as real as it. I mean, it's realer than real. Well, I can't. There's no words for it.
Yeah, really real.
But you got to see that you can't use your mind. You can't. If you use your mind for anything, well, that's what we're gonna. We're gonna all these things that Tom goes through, never ending, about his opinions about stuff, and I mean it's just crazy, because it's the abundance. He's not poor when he's in that state, and the gospel is only to the poor. It has nothing to do with money. So simple. Well, we went way over time. Take it, big guy.